Hello, and welcome to the Voice of Reason podcast. This is your host, Benjamin Boyce, and I would like to wish you all a happy new year, new decade, and start of this fresh little 2020 year that we got going on. This is episode 11 of season 2 of my podcast, and today's guest is Ariel Scarsella, who is a YouTuber, somebody who actually spends their life full-time YouTubing, and she is a lesbian and kind of a sex educator, I think is fair to say, and also a member of the LGBT community. And in this conversation, we talk about her time as a YouTuber. She's been doing it for over 10 years now, and her involvement in the LGBT community and the ways in which that community has shifted over the last 5 years or so, and the concerns that she has about that, and then some of the solutions that she's pursuing to reverse some of the trends within the community and how that community is being perceived by those outside of the community. So, here you go. That's cool, though. A condo in New York.
I know.
You're like an adult or something?
Yeah.
Do you identify that way?
I identify as 25. I wish I was 20. Well, do I really wish I was 25 again? Probably not. That 25 was a shit year. It's getting better and better as time goes on. We'll say that.
Wow.
My 30s have been way better than my 20s. Thank God.
Is there, you think there's a reason for that? Are you just more confident, or is the world different around you?
I think I'm way more confident. I don't give as many fucks. And I think, I think it was, do you believe in astrology at all? Or like the planets and the, probably not.
I don't disbelieve in it.
So many people make fun of me for believing in it. But you know what? Like, I look at my birth chart. I'm not talking about like the fucking horoscopes that you go on like the daily news and see. This is like your birth chart, and it tells you, you know, certain events that will likely happen in your lifetime and stuff like that. And everything has lined up, and I'm like, holy shit. And I didn't even see my birth chart until I was like 23. So, and I looked back at it, and I was like, everything had happened in that same way. So it's
in
like your
pattern.
Yes. So that's why I think my Saturn return when I turned 28 was huge. I went on my medication for my anxiety, and life got better in every possible way. So that's the long and the short of it, I guess.
When did you start the YouTube media thing?
Oh, I've been doing YouTube for 10 years at this point. This year was my 10th year. 2009, I started because I got, believe it or not, I got fired from my first job for the same reason that they hired me, which is they wanted to do digital media. And then they realized they didn't have funding for it, so they fired me. And then they went under like a year later, so bye. But it was the best thing that happened to me was to get fired, because I started making videos. So, and now that's my full-time job. So,
can I just start asking about your story? Is that okay?
Yeah. I don't know how you do these things. You could, I'm open. You could pretty much ask me.
I just press record and then see what happens.
Yeah. You can ask me whatever you want. I think people that know me at this point, at least have seen a few videos of mine, are like, okay, yeah, she talks about like squirting on camera, like she's fine. She talks about anything.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know what? Everybody's got their own kind of private corner of their life, even if it doesn't involve.
I guess that's true. Yeah,
juicy
yeah.
bits like that.
That's true.
What was your first content then?
My first content. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think. My first video ever is still up, and it was about going to the lesbian club and. The one lesbian bar in New York City, and getting hit on by a straight couple, by like a bisexual girl and her husband or something, or a boyfriend. And I was just like not having it. It's like a minute video, but I had my webcam. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was bored. I had just gotten fired, you know, and I was sitting home in that summer, and I was like, I need to do something creative. And I was like, I could probably post a video and teach myself how to edit. And I just did it. And then it just kept going. I found out, I found a few other LGBT YouTubers in the area, and they had this thing called 789, which had literally happened the week before I started going, the week before I started posting, or the week after I started posting, and I was like, oh, there's a community around this, I should probably get involved since I have time, and I'm not planning on going back to work. I had just graduated college, and I didn't want to, if I was able to take the summer off, I wanted to do it, so I got fired. I was like, whatever. I got fired in May. June, July, August, that I was going to take the months off because I had just graduated. I worked my ass off for 4 years. And I was going to go back and start looking for work in September. And then I did. I wound up working at other ad agencies. And
was that your education was in advertising or communications?
Advertising and, yeah, communications design. Advertising, graphic design, not really marketing and not really film and video, which is what I do now. That's all self-taught. Basically, they just taught us how to come up with good concepts, I guess, but you can't really teach people to have a good ideas. So that's probably why a lot of the kids in my school that graduated aren't doing what I'm doing. They're just like bartenders and stuff, which is great for them. But you can't teach people how to think. You can teach people how to communicate with other people, but I don't know. I think to be an artist and to be a communications person in that way, media communications. Like, what do they call us? Like, talking heads is what some people say pundit. About YouTubers. Yeah, it's like, okay, I see that. I don't think you can teach people how to do that. I think you either have it in you or you don't. I think you can grab an audience with the story you're telling or you can't. Like, I don't know. But they taught me the one thing they did teach you and the one thing they did teach me in school is how to market myself, which is good. Like, how to – like physically, like visually brand yourself and work with brands and stuff. Because if I wasn't doing video, technically with my degree, what I would be doing is I would be working for the PR companies that are hired by the brands to do these campaigns with influencers. That would be my job now. Back then, 10 years, 20 years ago, I'd be like in a big building in Manhattan, you know, making TV commercials. Like that's technically what my degree is in, but... That's not how
now you
work.
Are the commercial.
Now yeah, now I am the commercial. Yeah, exactly. Which I think is better.
What was it like then when you started doing it at the very beginning? Was there like a pretty immediate response or did you have to kind of get momentum going? What was YouTube like at that point? And then how was it interacting with you?
It was literally the complete opposite of what it is now. It was 100% community driven. Not many people were even making money at that point. Maybe like 5% of the creators were even partnered. Like I had to work to get partnered. I had to work for a year and create really good content back then. Anyway, what's considered good content? It's shitty now, but back then it was like, wow, this is great. I had to work to get that partnership. Now you just, what do you need? Like at this point, I think anybody could just sign up and start making ad revenue on their videos. But a lot of people back then would get denied, which is probably what they should do now, but not going to tell YouTube how to run their business. But yeah,
what was the viewership then? What was the audience like? How did they react to you?
A good viewership for a week for me back then was like 5,000 views. Like that was like considered like great. Cause the popular YouTubers were getting 50,000 views, you know? So 5,000 for a starter YouTuber is like, oh shit. Like who's watching them? All the little lesbians and all the little gay boys. And I think back then my content was so much more basic in a sense. Like it was just like, okay, here's how to come out and here's how to talk to your family about it. And here's some funny things, so like funny lesbian stereotype video or whatever. And now I'm diving like super deep into topics. So my audience, A, they've grown with me. So they're older because I'm older, but the newer people that I attract are also even older than me. Cause I'm not talking about coming out anymore. We've done that for 10 years. Like the first 5 years of making content, I don't need to do that anymore. Now we're diving into gender and gender politics and like laws, you know, and because everyone's like, oh, it doesn't affect you. No, it does affect us. It does affect women. It does affect people, you know, that if you're allowing anybody to self-identify as something, that does affect the other people that are also identifying as well. For me, it's not an identity. It's just a visual biological reality, you know, that's the difference. And if you're not like now you have, there's some trans women that don't physically transition and they want to be allowed in women's spaces. And I get called a turf for not wanting dick. So never mind if I said this publicly, which now I am, I don't think a trans woman that is not transitioned physically in any way should be allowed in women's spaces. Like,
so you're called a turf for excluding penises from your vagina. Like
100%.
to be exclusionary on that level, you still get that.
Yes. Yeah. As a yeah, I can. I have. If you pull up Ariel Scarsella turf vagina, I'm sure it'll come up on Twitter. Like I'm sure there's like thousands of tweets.
Well, that's where we are now, but I have a question about what you think about the identity of the LGB, or let's just say just the lesbian identity,
Yeah.
and building a media presence around that aspect of your personality. What was that like, and how do you think that that community or forming that community around identity is now shifted? So what was it like when you started just
Okay.
producing content around that aspect of your person?
That's a difficult question, but I know how to answer it because I thought about this the other day when I was filming a video about it. Years ago, there was nobody called themselves queer, nobody called themselves I don't know, there's whatever other word that isn't exactly the word lesbian. You were either like lesbian, bisexual, straight, gay. Like it was that simple. Or you were trans and then you just said, I'm a trans woman and I date men, or I'm a trans woman and I date women. You wouldn't say I'm a trans woman lesbian and then like you're not even transitioned and you're genuine on dating apps. And listen, I have receipts of trans people, not a lot, obviously. There's more trans women that at least try to pass, you know, but there are a lot of trans women. To me, that's very male-like. Like to go on a dating app looking like you, calling yourself a lesbian, and then getting angry when people and lesbians reject you. Like, no, you're like you're not deserving of us just because you identify a certain way. That's I'm going, you know, I'm going on a tangent. But years ago, like with YouTube and in general with the LGBT community, everybody there was like four identities or five if you're including, you know, if you're including trans people, a trans guy, trans girl, whatever. And most of the time, you know, lesbians and trans people got along. And I think it's partially because no one really talked about it. And then in 2013, I was the first lesbian channel that brought trans people onto the channel to give them voices because they had started posting their own videos. And I was like, oh, this is like a subset of the community that I haven't given the chance to speak yet. And I had like maybe like 2013, maybe like 200,000 followers back then, which wasn't significant, but it wasn't like it was significant for the gay community, I guess. And I immediately got so much hate, like immediately, like no matter what I said, I got hate. Even to the point where I started talking about my own body, and they were telling me that it was triggering
Oh,
them, like saying,
this certain
"This is
subset of the community.
the yeah." So very quickly, I started to realize that with these new trans, this very small subset but loud subset of the trans community, which now most of them most of the time we'll call them queer activists or SJWs or like super progressive woke people that aren't actually progressive or woke, in my opinion. And I realized very quickly that there was a subset of people that migrated from Tumblr to YouTube to follow these people, and they were triggered over everything. They were most of them were under the age of 25, maybe even under the age of 21, because I was about 25 at that point. And it became the way to be for a very long time, up until about 2016, when people like Blair White, Calvin Gara, Storm Ryan, Rose of Dawn, those people started emerging, and they were like, no, we are sane trans people who understand that biological sex is real, who understand that people might not want to date us. We're trying to live as regular, everyday men and women. We're not running around making a mockery, you know, of like looking like you and trying to get mad at people who are misgendering you. Like, you know, I understand again, like not every trans person's gonna pass, not every trans person has the opportunity to even come out, but you have to understand that it's not something that I can like as a cis woman, I can't just walk around and like my
Bro it up.
like I can't pass as a man, and I if male privilege is real, which most people will admit, there's some privilege. Not that women also don't have privilege, right? There's privilege in any type of gender, any race, any religion, everything, depending on where you are and what you're doing. But you can't, I can't, it's not like something, somebody that looks like me can erase that just because they feel like, you know, identifying differently that day. I don't know if I'm making sense. There's a lot of
No,
thoughts in my
no.
head right
So,
now. But,
I think it's a huge
yeah.
issue, and I think it feels like you're just working this out in real time. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
You're processing a lot. I
It's a lot. It's a lot. Like it started like as a very good, tight-knit LGBT community, and then
Yeah.
like around 2013, when I started speaking out in regards to trans rights, in support of trans rights, by the way, I noticed very quickly that there was a subset of trans people. There was a subset of trans people in a group on YouTube. You want me to name names? Because I can. I don't really care. I don't know if it's gonna help them, but like Chase Ross, Cat Black, Riley Dennis, these people started making, in my opinion, horrible content. They made the trans community look bad, but they
In what way
became
do you think? In what way? What were
just
they?
everything is transphobic to them. Everything is
Okay.
transphobic. Everybody's racist. Everybody's sexist. Everybody's, you know, everybody's misogynistic.
So
The
it's a
types.
very embattled mindset.
They are the epitome of the oppression Olympics, as Shoe on Head would say. Just a horrible group of people. Like Cat Black and Chase Ross made their careers because they originally started posting. I mean, they had a few videos before they made content about me, but the videos that they made calling me out, that's when cancel culture started becoming a big thing around 2013. They started calling me out, quote calling me out, because really, what were you calling me out for? For being transphobic, calling me a TERF, telling me I'm a horrible person, and you're the reason that trans kids kill themselves. Excuse me, no. Like, I'm not here to validate anybody. I'm here
Yeah.
to speak my piece, and to I'm hopefully helping others learn to live their best lives as well. But I'm not here to validate anybody. That's your
Do you
job.
think
Like.
that was kind of the culture of YouTube at a certain point with blood sports, and there was a lot of a lot of people were capturing attention by making different by going after each other on YouTube. It seems like that was a
Absolutely.
thing.
Yeah, it still is. It still is, but it reversed itself, which is great. Like now I'm happy that people do that because now they're not attacking me. Now we have Blair White attacking the bullies that once bullied me. So it came full
Oh, okay.
circle. So these people literally for years like tried to ruin my career. And
How did you distance yourself from that?
I didn't. I just kept making videos. Like
Oh, so
I
you just
and
ignored it. You just water off
I
your back.
to this day I've never publicly made a video about any of those people that have made videos about me. Not once.
Why not?
I don't
Is it
know.
not worth your time, or you're
It's
not interested in that?
I feel like the people that hate me, I'm not going to win them anyway. So I don't even bother. And the people that know me and watch my content aren't going to be, you know,
Persuaded by the.
swayed. Yeah, they're not going to be swayed in that direction anyway. So maybe it is a little bit of a waste of my time. And I'm not sure those videos, if I were to post videos about them, I have more followers. I don't necessarily get more views all the time, but I feel like I would be helping them more than I'd be helping myself. So I've just kind of brushed it under the rug. And thank God, like I said, people like Blair, Calvin, Ryan, a bunch of Sam Collins, like London, a bunch of other people,
Do you think that
rose up and started defending me, and they were like, "Listen, like she might not say everything perfect all the time, because who the hell does? But I'm also the only person that constantly speaks out about trans issues on my channel, anyway, and at the same time constantly gets berated because of it by both sides, by the left and the right. The left because I never say it the perfect way, and the right because there actually are TERFs on that side sometimes, you know, people that don't believe that trans is real and that kind of thing. Excuse me, that kind of thing. And that's where the concept for the new live stream series that I want to do came from. I feel like I've been stuck in the middle and I've gotten hate from both sides since 2013. And I do my best. You know, I think at this point it's like there's no pleasing either side. So I just kind of have gained the audience that's in the middle, which I think there are more people that are in the middle. They're kind of like, okay, like I get some of this trans stuff, but like trans women in sports that look like that have gone through male puberty and look like fucking dudes, like no, probably not. You know, like there's got to be a line somewhere. And I think those are the people that watch my stuff now. And
Do you
some of them
think
are,
that,
and a lot of them are trans people.
yeah, there are a lot of
Yeah, there's a lot of
centrist,
them that
reasonable,
understand. Yeah.
yeah. Do you think that that attitude, that embattled attitude, that oppression Olympics has infected the LGBT community at the same kind of level that it has just what you've seen on YouTube? Do you think that that's replicated outside, or is it like kind of different
100,
on YouTube?
it's not just an online thing.
Okay.
I've had people email me, and I know that they're not doing it for attention because they're emailing me. If they were tweeting me and then like expecting me to retweet, then that's doing it for attention, likely. Not necessarily. But I've had people email me multiple times, multiple people, different, same story, telling me that they identified as a lesbian or they identified as a gay man. Most of the time when they identify as lesbians and they go to like their gay straight alliances in their high school and they're told that they're transphobic or if they say, oh yeah, I'm a gold star lesbian, which means you've never had sex with a man, referring to cis men, by the way, like it has nothing to do with trans people, but somehow they make it about them. And they were like, like shoved out of the LGBT alliance or whatever, their gay straight alliance, whatever they're called in their schools, the high school stuff. We didn't have one in my high school, so I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called the gay straight alliance. I remember one time I went to the center, which is the LGBT center in New York City. This was like 2 years ago, and I originally went there because I was doing a photo shoot with two trans women, two black trans women who were so sweet. Again, the sane trans people of the community, like the more sane, level-headed people in the community. And I remember I was like, oh, like might as well like see what's going on. And I walked into a meeting not knowing what the meeting was, and it turned out that it was a meeting for LGBT people of color. And I sat down because I didn't really have anything to add, obviously, but I wanted to listen because I was waiting for these trans women to come for the photo shoot. They were a little late, typical girls. And I sat down and I was listening to this Asian person. I want to say woman, but who the hell knows how they identified. And they were bitching for 20 minutes, literally maybe 15 minutes. I guess someone said 20 minutes, but it could have been 20 minutes about how there was this guy on her block. I'm going to say her because I don't know. There was this guy on her block and he was racist and sexist and homophobic and all these things. And like I was listening to what she was saying and I'm like, I don't think that guy sounds anything other than a typical New Yorker. That's just kind of a little bit of a prick. Like he would say that kind of shit to anybody. And I said something to her and I was like, this doesn't say, oh, and I was like, this doesn't sound that bad. I think you're taking everything to heart and you're making it harder on yourself because, I don't think it's as, I don't think it's as bad as, I don't think it's as bad as you're making it seem. You're making it seem like more people hate us than actually, that actually do. Then actually do. And she flipped out, told me, told me that they, this meeting isn't even for me. Why the hell am I here? And I'm like, I'm here because I'm a part of the LGBT community and I deserve to be here just the same as anybody else. And technically speaking, how do they know that I'm not a person of color? Like, how do they know? Like, visually, maybe not. But like biologically, maybe like that's just, on their, that's what they would say. Like, oh, I might not seem like a woman visually, but I am. Okay, I could say the same thing for a person of color. Like just going back on what they're saying. But yeah, it's definitely spilled over into the into the real world to a point where the LGBT rate of acceptance has gone down drastically.
What do you mean, rate
In
of
the
acceptance? I
UK,
know.
there's been articles written about it. I made a video. I haven't posted it yet, but I have a video going up soon that talks about why this happened. And it's because of the cry bullies, as we call them. That's what the term that we've coined over the years, I guess, cry bullies. They cry over everything and they bitch and but they're the actual bullies most of the time.
Rate of acceptance, how, like in
I
general,
think it
in
was
general?
in general in general. I think it was like. I think it was in the UK, and there was also a study in the US, and I'm pretty sure I have to look it up. But it was like, let me see. You want me to look it up really quick for you?
Sure, just acceptance, how, like just in a job or like a house or a friend
I think
or.
just like in society, like everyday
Yeah.
society, like they. I think that
And it's trending
the article.
downward.
Yeah, I think the article talked about like not wanting to be friends with LGBT people. I think that's what it was, which I can understand because I don't even want to be friends with half of these crazy people. Like, and I'm not like, you know,
do you think that there's going to be an arms race where the people who are not being accepted because they're assholes will become even more assholes and accuse the whole world of being even worse assholes?
I do. But now people are calling them out. So I think, okay. I think the tide
in the community,
has both. I think in the community, like with people okay. like me and Blair and stuff. And I think there are some straight people that are also calling it out. But if it was only straight people calling it out, it wouldn't work. Like we need to have people like me, Blair, Calvin and stuff, you know, people like that also calling it out because it's like a white person telling a black person that they're acting stupid. They're going to be like, well, you're white. What the hell do you know? We need the black person to tell the black person they're acting stupid. It's just to say, it's sad that it has to be that way, but it does.
Do you think that the LGBT community, because it was formed, it went through a phase of trying to really working really hard to get society to accept itself. So it was really working on tolerance, and that tolerance kind of opened it up at some point, at some weird switching point, to be abused by people who are aggressively, intolerantly demanding tolerance. Was there something in the water of the community going through, let's just say, gay marriage or something that went too far that allowed these people to start manipulating things?
I don't know what it was. My best guess has nothing to do with acceptance at all. I think it has to do with money. I think that people know that people will follow them. Creators know that people will follow them if they feel bad for them or if they feel like they're helping, you know, like, you know, straight guilt or white guilt or whatever you want to call it, or cis guilt. I think there's a lot of kids that follow and they feel badly because they don't have a lack of self yet. And I think they're very easily manipulated and very easily controlled by these figureheads, whatever you want to call them. People like Chase Ross, Cat Black, people that made a name for themselves based on saying that everybody else in the world was bad and they were good. And kids want to believe that. They want to be a part of something bigger. And they want to believe that, you know, they're more woke, they're better people, which they're not, but that's what these people have told these kids, that's what they've led them to believe. And of course they're going to follow them if they think that they're constantly getting reminded that, listen, like, don't listen to these other crazy people, which people like me, like, they're the bad people, we're the good people, donate to my Patreon kind of shit. And like, and it works, you know, and thank God, like I said, you know, there's been a ton of, at first they were calling them anti-SJWs, now they're calling them conservatives, you know, the words keep changing, but the rise of those types of people in a very strange way, but a way that made sense because it came full circle, have revamped my career. You know, I still get called TERF, but I don't lose jobs or, you know, speaking engagements or anything like that because of it, except if it's like VidCon, because VidCon, they're not fond of anybody that isn't the far left. Which is weird, cause I don't even consider myself on the right at all. Like, I'm very pro everything, but I'm also pro me. Like, I'm pro respect for myself. So, yeah. And a lot of these people won't respect you if they can't control you. It's a very hive mind, culty kind of
thing. That's not respect.
Right. But that's how they are. And, you know, if you don't say something that's 100%, you know, of the queer activist mind in that sense, they regard you as the enemy. And they automatically turn on you. And I learned quickly that I didn't want to be a part of a community like that. So I kept producing content I thought was good. And if they called me a TERF, if they called me a bigot, so have it. I just kept doing it, and eventually it worked itself out.
It sounds like you are making a turn towards actually engaging with this. Have you been engaging with this on like a political level before? Or were you just making your own content?
I kind of ignored it for years, and okay. I just kept posting. Now within the last year,
what happened that you want to do this now? What's going on?
I'm just because I learned that, to be honest, like, I pay attention to the analytics on my videos, and the videos where I have a very strong opinion, I don't think that I don't think there's any other lesbian YouTuber out there that speaks out about the craziness in the community. And I think that's why Blair White does so well, because she's one of the few trans women that does so. And I realized that that's why I respected her so much, because she's a woman with a strong opinion and she stands by it. And she inspired me in that way to go back on how I was in the beginning, just saying how I felt and standing by it. And if I do make a mistake because I was uninformed or something, I'll admit it. But I still have certain beliefs. And people, they might not get as many views, but they get way more comments, way more likes, way more people excited for conversation when I do content about gender politics. Doesn't have to be about trans people. It could just be about gender politics in general. I'll
what
give
do
you
think
a good
the...
example. Yeah,
oh, no, go on. Yeah,
no,
what's
no,
your
no,
example?
No, I was just going to say something personal. It's not that important, though. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask a personal question, so you can just...
No, no, go ahead. Go ahead. No, 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 go ahead.
Well, what do you think the role of a lesbian community is now, or the LGBT community is now? What is the function of that community? Given that maybe society accepts you enough, does it need to be disbanded? Is it going through some sort of phase shift because what brought it together is no longer something that binds it together? What do you think?
Oh, interesting. That's a really interesting question. I don't know how to answer that because it's different everywhere you go. Like I live part-time in New York and part-time in Florida. And I think that Florida...
The communities are different.
Yeah, the community is very different. The community is very different in Canada. The community is very different in Spain. But if you go to Florida, even me just like literally walking around my mom's retirement community, I would get stares and people would probably snicker and say nasty. And this is in Florida, you know, and it's in the United States. I don't think acceptance is as far as people would think or hope. We'll say hope because I think people do, most people in this country want it, you know, believe in gay rights and trans rights. But
and
I think
you're seeing data that's saying that acceptance is taking a factor.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Blair, I think Blair did a video about it, or she mentioned it in a video. No, she mentioned it in a video recently. I keep mentioning her cause she's one of my favorite content creators at the moment. And she knows that, but, yeah, she talked about it. I think I tweeted about it and tagged her and then she put it in her video. She might've seen it before that. I don't know. But, there were two articles written about it, how it was for the first time in 10 years or 20 years or something, people, I think what was stated in the article was parents would feel less comfortable now with their kids being friends with LGBT people or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or if the parents themselves would feel less comfortable, but and it's understandably so, like there's so much hatred and, you know, a hierarchy of oppression. Like, and it's just,
did you watch that forum in real time then, or did it just all of a sudden appear?
I've seen it happening. No, I've seen it happening for years. Like I have friends of mine I play paddleball, you know, it's like racquetball, very similar to racquetball, but it's outdoors and very New York City thing. And I've had friends of mine for years be like, I don't give a shit if somebody transitions, da 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 da. And then all of a sudden trans women in sports, and they flipped out online because, you know, males generally, if you go through male puberty, you will have advantages. Like it's just, it's true. And these people that I play with, they're very, very keen on women in sports because, you know, we have, you know, men's doubles, we'll have mixed doubles. So it'll be a man and a woman. And there, it took years for us to get to taking women's sports seriously. And I think now, being a feminist in that way is seen as a good thing and not as a pussy move. Cause like back then, oh, you're a feminist, you must be, you know, bitch, you know, you must be whipped by your girlfriend type of thing. But now it's actually a good thing. But then again, now it's becoming
for men,
right?
Oh,
right.
Okay.
It'd be considered a bad thing. Like, and still, I guess in some cases, but not much. I think people nowadays know that men being feminists, you know, isn't a pussy move. It's thank God. You know, that they're for women's rights and for equal respect and that kind of thing. And more often than not, they are, of course. But now you have it kind of eating itself. And it's like, yeah, we're feminists, but we're standing, you know, we're standing for women, but we're getting hate for it. So it's becoming a very confusing time for people, you know, because now you're hated by the trans community, who are very even louder, in my opinion, louder and meaner than, you know, women's rights activists.
Why do you think that
They're
they can get away with that behavior? Like if
because
people
nobody because
claiming.
nobody wants to be called transphobic. That's I think it's as simple as that, honestly. I think one of the ways they get away with it is they say trans people are the most oppressed, which I guess, depending on the way you look at it, yes, they are. Well, trans women specifically, but you could also say, I'm trying to say how do I say this? Trans women are the most oppressed, but that doesn't mean that the rest of the community like should be forgotten. Like there's so it became it very quickly went from like if you've noticed. There has never been, and I said this in the video, I got so much shit for it, but whatever. There has never been a time where lesbians had the spotlight. It went from gay men to you know directly to trans people, in my opinion. Like everything became, you know, gay rights, gay rights, gay rights, which included lesbianism, but lesbians are never the forefront of anything, like visually for some reason.
Why?
Like
Why do you think that is? Are you guys just not narcissistic enough
I think
to put
I'm not
yourselves front and
100.
center? I'm being facetious, but
No,
what do you
no, no. I
think the
know.
psychology is?
I think we're not the ones that are in charge of the community. I think gay men handle most of the stuff. I think that's really what it comes down to. They have most of the money, and they handle most of the political stuff. Even though lesbians might do it just as much in private, behind the scenes, but gay men are more out there. And that's not bad. I don't think gay men should not be out there. Of course, I just think that lesbians never. Like had their time to shine, and even on YouTube, like we had Michael Buckley and Tyler Oakley and Joey Graceffin, like huge LGBT gay content creators, and like if you notice the popular lesbian creators don't actually talk about lesbian topics on YouTube.
What do they talk about?
Hannah Hart talks about drinking, you know, and you know food, and you know Ingrid is a lesbian and talks about. Beauty, you know, there it's just not. Meanwhile, there's a lot of straight because you know what it is? It's a lot of straight girls that will watch gay men. Believe it or not, there are not a lot of straight guys that will watch lesbians. They just won't. They don't
Well, I
connect
wonder if our
in the same
interests
way.
overlap
I think they
necessarily.
do. They do, but for some reason, it's a cultural thing where girls are obsessed with boys, no matter if they're gay or straight, and guys, you know. I guess they see that like straight guys, all the lesbians are like out of my reach. I'm not gonna. I don't know what it is, but it went from gay men to being the spotlight in 2013, 2015, right to 2016. It went straight to trans women, and now it's all about being non-binary. And it's like it just gets more and more quote progressive and more woke, and less about being female. And I noticed that like the like f trans men have never had the spotlight. And I think it's because they were born female. I really do. And I think it's. I know plenty of people that would agree with me, but that wouldn't say it publicly. But I mentioned that in a video, and I got a lot of hate, but I also got a lot of praise for it. People were like, "Wow, I never thought of it that way." And went from gay
What's
men to trans women to non-binary people.
your audience ratio, male female, on the analytics? Is it?
It's. I haven't looked at it in a while, but I think it's probably like 70-30. 'Cause
70 female?
there's a lot of guys, but not a lot of young straight guys like there are with girls, like young straight girls that fawn over the cute gay boys, you know? That's just, I guess it's a cultural thing.
How big is your presence about being a lesbian, or
Oh, I talk
how do you
about,
design that
how did I
or
design it,
conceive
you
of
said?
that? Well, conceive of that, like what is me as a lesbian versus me as me, if that is even
Oh
something.
no, like I 100% branded myself as like the lesbian YouTuber. Like and in the beginning people were like, "Oh, that's a bad thing." But I was smart about it and knew that the platform was going to grow, and now the more niche you are, the better. So it wound up benefiting me in the end. I can only talk about girly things or, you know, sports you know, how many people are going to make the same type of video? A lot. How many people are going to talk about the color of your vagina? Probably only me. And that's why I get views on those, because I'm the only one that talks about that kind of stuff. And it needs to be talked about, you know, and there needs to not be as much shame. There needs to be a channel where women feel safe, which is why a lot of straight girls watch me. Not because they're like bi-curious or bisexual. I mean, they might be, but that's not why. They watch me because I'm a woman that has a strong opinion and they want to be the same. And I think I give them confidence. And I think I also hopefully make them feel comfortable, more comfortable with who they are. And that's my main goal, is to help women do that. Men too, but women first, you know.
How was that learning those skills yourself before? I guess you grew up at the beginning of the internet, probably pre-YouTube for sure. But
yeah, pre-YouTube,
what was it like?
Yeah.
How did you have to find your role models, or what role models did you find, or how did you have to invent that courage for yourself? Or were you just already just a firecracker?
I was a firecracker. I've always been sassy, that's for sure. But that comes with being from Brooklyn and being Italian. But if you watch my very early videos, I was very, like, I actually, it's funny because I actually seem like I'm more excited about things, but I was like overdoing it on purpose because I was so nervous. And now I just sit there and I talk, and I learn that people listen to me because it's the energy that I'm talking, not like the pitch or the speed at which I'm doing so. It's just the way I say things and the confidence that comes with it. And then people, I could be as wrong as the day is long. And if I say it a certain way, people will follow that. I don't think I'm wrong very often. But I think that if you want, there's a difference between being a content creator and being a leader. I think I think that there's a lot of people that make content and make good content, but I don't think they would be capable of starting a conversation, like an important conversation. I don't think everybody has the ability to do that. I think you have to have a very strong opinion, a very strong knowledge of who you are and what you believe in, because people are going to hate on you, and you can't let it bother you. Like, you can't let it, like, I remember one of my friends, Davey, my favorite things he's ever said was somebody had asked him on a panel how he handles negative and how he handles positive comments, actually. Because a lot of YouTubers will get big egos, right? And they, oh, everybody loves me. And then they say something wrong and they're canceled, and they get depressed, and they go on, you know, they go on suicide watch, like literally. And he said, I handle positive comments the same way I handle negative comments. I don't let them validate me. Like, no matter what these people think of me, I know that I still do my best to be a good person and to show love and spread love. And if they don't think that I'm doing it in the best way, that's okay. They have their own channel and they could speak out. And that's the beauty of YouTube. Like, anybody can just make a channel and say whatever the hell they have to say.
Yeah, if you're lucky, you won't get kicked off or suppressed by the algorithm, but at least you can speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you consider yourself a leader at this point, or do you think
100%.
That it's... And I has think, that always been the case, or are you moving into that now, you think?
I think it's always been the case, but I think I didn't recognize it in myself until recently. I didn't realize that because people were hating on me so much, it was because they saw me as a leader.
Huh.
You know, because if you're just like, you know, an anonymous person on the internet, no one's gonna be like, all right, whatever. But like when I started getting a lot of hate, I realized, oh shit, like they hate me because they do view me as somebody with a massive platform and a voice that could potentially, in their eyes, ruin them. Although they've been doing it for the last 3 years, and look at the rate of LGBT acceptance. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to do it my way.
Well, queer theory doesn't like stats too much, so we'll see if that convinces them.
Yeah. I don't know. Are you LGBT yourself?
No, I just stumbled into this because I got my start talking about a very niche instance of racism gone horribly awry at a small college. And I investigated the tactics that were being used by the activists within the race dialogue. And I just needed to back away from race. It just so depressing. I just needed a break from that. And I saw a lot of the trans individuals getting railroaded by the trans rights activists. And I just wanted to start to investigate what is this whole trans thing, and talk to, and platform the rational trans people, and then that led me in this whole adventure into all these different, subsets
You
of
get
people.
sucked in, and it's just it's growing every day. Like, there's new genders, there's new reasons to be offended, there's new ways you can upset people. Like, there's new laws that are protecting something that doesn't make any sense. So
What do you
yeah,
think the
it's like a
dirt?
never-ending flow of content for us, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Job
for sure.
security,
Yeah.
job security. Yeah.
It is, yeah, as long as I keep on focusing on building something rather than just critiquing. I think it's really too attractive to just be a critic. I don't want to be a critic. I'd rather be a connector, in a
I
way.
love that. Somebody told me that recently. Somebody said that they called me a culture critic. And I was like, yeah, but I said the same thing as you. I said, I'm also connecting. I didn't know if I used that same word, connecting, but I said, yeah, but I'm maybe bridging, trying my best to bring the community together by being a critic, I guess. By being like, shame on you, shame on you. This is the way we should do it. But they do the same thing to me. So who the hell is really right in this situation?
Do you think that it's viable to go along a more constructive route of, I guess your idea right now is to platform people that are speaking out, or at least have debates or something? You think that that would be possibly a way to shift the direction of the community?
I think it humanizes people. And I think that, and I know that because of what I've been doing for the last 10 years, people forget that I'm a real person. And I've met people that have hated on me in real life. And of course, they don't say shit in real life. They walk the other way. Like, they're ashamed. Because it's you're being a bully behind the cat, like behind, not even the camera. You're being a bully behind the typewriter, like the keyboard. Typewriter. I don't know why I said that. I wanted to say typing and I said typewriter. You're being a bully by typing. It's just, what was your question? I forgot what you said.
How do you flush the bullies out of
Oh,
this
yeah.
sector of society? Do you
I
let
think
them just
they,
erode the whole thing, or?
I think they're eating their own at this point. I think that somebody like me, who's been doing their best, even if they disagree with me, I've been doing my best to support people that are different for years. And if they hate and they find if they find me hateful, I can't even imagine. They want me to die. So I can't even imagine what they think of the rest of, regular people in the world, people that don't even know what the hell genderqueer is. And
They
I
tend to
think I
hate people like you more
they
because.
do. Yeah. Kill the messenger. I don't know what the mentality is exactly. I hate to say this, but I also do think it's again because I'm a woman. If a man said some of the things that I said, like if you tell like gay men, I'll say this. I think now they're starting to come for gay men, calling gay men transphobic for not wanting to have sex with trans men, but it's so far and few in between compared to the amount of hate lesbians get. Gay men have literally, like if you go on Grindr, in their profiles, in their bios, they'll have like the size of their dicks and I'm not going to date anybody, 8 inches uncut. I only prefer hung men. Da da da. If I said that about like, if I talked about women that way, which I don't, but I do talk about like, okay, I like vaginas and I like this type of woman and this. You're reducing women to their genitals. You're reducing women to this. You're transphobic. Men and their sexual orientations or sexuality, because they're those two different things, are always taken more seriously than women. And our opinions are also le taken less seriously.
Could you sketch the difference between what you mean between sexuality and sexual orientation then?
Sexual orientation is who you're attracted to, and sexuality is the way you have sex or the way you like.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Like your sexuality.
Manifest it.
So, right. Like you, because people say sexuality is fluid. Correct. But that had turned into, oh, well, if your sexuality is fluid, then genitals are a preference. No. Sexuality doesn't mean sexual orientation. Like I might see a trans woman who passes for cis, right? Who I would have never known was trans, doesn't have any masculine features, male features, has a vagina. I would have sex with her personally. I wouldn't care. Because you're still presenting, you still look female. You can't be attracted to somebody's chromosomes, right? But you're attracted to secondary sex characteristics. that's where sexual orientation and sexual orientation would be being attracted to that said woman. Sexuality is how I would want to have sex with her.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So how you express yourself sexually.
Yeah.
There are certain women, like certain gay men are only tops, certain gay men are only bottoms. And sometimes it changes depending on who you're with. That's more okay. Sexuality. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Have you ever found yourself attracted to a man's sexuality itself, even though like the body, the container that it's in is not something that you're attracted to? Like, is there anything about the male sexuality that
I'm attracted to?
That's really just alienating to you, or just like a mystery to
you? No, it's just the maleness has never turned me on. I guess it's the five senses, right? It's the way they smell. It's the way they taste. It's the way they look. You know, it's just like every single one of those things just didn't feel right. That's the best way I can explain it. It has to be biological, I guess. There's no other way I can it's like the signs of being a lesbian. I don't know. I just know that it is. Like, I don't know how to answer that really. Just maleness of any kind. Yeah. Even butch women turn me off. Like I could, cause it reminds me of men, not that they are men, but it reminds me of that. And it personally turns me off. Yeah. Like if they were very, very masculinized. Yeah. Can't do it.
Was your, how did you discover your orientation? Like, were you really young, or was it just kind of a surprise?
Oh, I was so young. I was like 9, and I just knew. I was very, very upset about it. But I just...
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, I hid it for 10 years. I didn't come out until I was 19. But I wasn't a very sexual person at that age anyway. So it wasn't like I was, like, horny behind doors, like, masturbating to women. I just didn't even, like, do anything. I was just focused on school, focused on you know, getting into a good school, getting into a good high school, a good college, whatever. And then I was 19 and I was like, yeah, it's probably time to come out, because I don't want to like date boys anymore. And I couldn't have sex with them. I've never had sex with a man.
Your gold
I
star.
Do it.
I don't have
do
one gold, here. I can emoji
a gold
one.
Star. I know, but you say that now it's transphobic because you're excluding trans women. Meanwhile, it has nothing to do with trans people. It has to do with having a woman having sex with a cis straight guy.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, it has nothing to do with trans people. But I don't think the term is great, but I don't think it's transphobic either. So, but yeah.
You said you were upset. Were you upset because you had to change your conception of your future? Like you weren't going to have a house with babies or something like that? Or was it like would have to deal with all this ostracization?
I think it was that. Yeah, that was part. Well, no, the weird thing is I knew like my mom had gay friends and lesbian friends. And my dad used to work in the village as a massage therapist. All of his clients were gay men. He didn't care. It wasn't even like I knew nobody in my family would. Maybe my grandma cared because she was like super religious. And when my brother came out, my brother's also gay. She took me to the side and she's like, you should bring Matthew to church. I'm like, no, grandma, he's gay. He's not the devil. Like, leave him alone. Like, but after like a few, like a year or two, she understood. Like, it's just how we are. Like, we can't change it. What was the question again? I forgot what you said.
I was curious about why you're upset. Yeah.
It's going to sound strange, but I'm very typical type A personality. And I think it had to do with me being like a perfectionist. And I saw like, I had straight A's. I was always the captain of my softball team, my hockey team. I was one of the best players in everything I did. I was a great kid. I never got in trouble, except if I answered back. That was the only thing I ever got in trouble for, because I had a big mouth. Now I'm using that to my advantage, clearly.
Yeah, right.
But that was the only thing I ever did that was like bad, and I wanted to be the best version, because my parents worked so hard. Like, we weren't poor; we were definitely lower middle class. My dad was a mailman. What do you make? $40,000 a year? You know, it's not a great profession. And we live in New York, so it was really hard. And I wanted to work so fucking hard to make something of myself, so that my parents' struggle was worth it. And to me, when I came out and I admitted that to myself, it was like, oh shit. Like, at one point, I don't know why, but for some reason I thought that it was going to dampen my image. Not how they saw me, but I guess how the world would see me, and then how the world would see them in return. I know that's stupid to think that now, but 10 years ago, 20 or whatever it was, 15 years ago, it was different.
I think it's important to honor that.
Yeah.
I think that's at root, it's a very good, compulsion to want to be perfect, and kind of like wrangling with, your difference, I guess, and coming to terms with the fact that it's not a flaw.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not. I know that now, but back then I was very upset, which is why I started making videos. Because I knew how lucky I was. Well, that was like 4 years into after coming out, I started making content because I knew how lucky I was that I was fully accepted in my life and my family, and I knew other people weren't. And I started posting videos to help people that didn't have that experience and that didn't live in New York City, you know.
Do you think that if you were born 15 years later, the trans ideology as it's manifesting now with rapid onset gender, do you think that that might have attracted you?
I think that I would have thought I was trans for fucking sure. For sure. And I've made a video about this, and I think I privated it now, not because it wasn't a good video, because it didn't perform well, that's whatever. But the video was called I Thought I Was Transgender, because in a weird way I did. So even if I thought back then that I was trans, I didn't know what trans was. What I had thought at the time when I was like 10, 12 years old was that I should have been born a boy, because I didn't know that you could be a girl that likes women, like a woman that likes women. And I didn't fit in with the girl, like the girls on the block, the kids on the block here where I grew up. You know, they were obsessed with Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Hanson and all the 90s boys. And I was just like not into it. I wanted to play hockey. I didn't want to play. I didn't want to do gymnastics. Like every gender stereotype that you could think of, I was the reverse of it. So, you know, even McDonald's, like they would give me the girl toy and I'd be like, no, I want the other toy. Like they'd be like, you're trans, you know? And also because I hated my body, because I was ashamed. But believe it or not, I hated my body because I wasn't developed fully as a female. But now they would probably like find a way how to twist it. I don't know.
Could
But
you could you?
I was gonna say I was so skinny, I was so thin. I didn't even get my
Okay.
period until I was 15. I still don't have
Oh.
any boobs. Yeah, so I
Oh,
was
okay.
never. I felt like people looked at me more like I was more of a guy than a girl because of my body also and because of my personality. So I was like, oh, maybe it would have been easier if I was just a guy, you know, like one of those kind of things.
Yeah.
Would it have been? I don't know. Probably not. Probably not, because I like being a woman. But I think 100%, like I didn't like my body. I didn't fit into gender stereotypes. I liked women, you know. I think 100% I would have thought I was trans if I was growing up now. Definitely. And all these YouTubers that are like non-binary and non-this and gender fluid and you can do this and this, I would have thought I was some kind of Q in the community and not just basically a woman that likes women for sure.
Were you ever into politics, like activism, or did you ever be have a radical phase like that? Or and the
My
other
radical
question
phase is my
was
radical phase is
oppression
happening right
ever?
now.
Oh, right now, okay.
It's like
You're a
happening
late
right now.
bloomer. Yeah.
It's happening right now. I'm just like,
Me too.
I've reached peak trans at this point, as we call it. I reached it like last year. Within the last year, I started making content where I'm just like, now people are calling themselves non-binary lesbians, and they're making it so much more complicated than it needs to be. You know, to
Isn't
me,
that
if
the
you,
game? Isn't that what they just want to
I
do?
think that's what they want to do, yeah, but is I think that's hurting LGBT acceptance, which is why the rate is going down. I think sometimes it is that it is as simple as, are you attracted to maleness or femaleness? If you're attracted to one, that you're then you're what you know whatever gender you present as. If you're still presenting as a man, you're straight man. If you're presenting as a woman, you're a lesbian, you know. Because genitals are important in relationships, but they're not important as far as society goes in that way, you know? I've never seen any of my friends' genitals, but maybe like one. But
I
like,
thought there was a video of. No, that was you on the
which
bed.
one?
There
Oh,
was
when I
just
showed my
a.
friends?
Yeah, I didn't
I
feel
mean, like,
comfortable watching that, so I'm
I my
sorry.
non no 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 my non-YouTube friends, I've never seen their genitals. Like my YouTube friends, of course, like we're filming for a video and stuff, but like. And all those videos are real. I've seen like all my friends in that way. If I did see them on camera, I saw them in real life. Yeah. Because a lot of people are like, that's fake, that's fake. It's like, no, they were comfortable enough to show me, and I was respectful and made them feel comfortable. And, you know, we talked about, you know, our genital insecurities and our insecurities with our bodies, and those conversations need to happen. So at least I think so. And then I got called transphobic for being obsessed with trans people's genitals. So full circle, comes to bite me in the ass somehow.
You just can't get away from it. You just got to embrace it, I guess.
That's what I did. That's what I do. And I'm just like, yeah, whatever.
So what's the next step then?
Just continue to make content with people like Blair in mind, that just because of an outspoken woman, to know that as an outspoken woman and a lesbian, I'm going to be taken less seriously unless I fully commit. So I just have to fully commit to what I believe is right and not fluctuate, you know? I think
is there a way to do that without being radical? I guess on the surface, to like have a radical belief, but not be, I don't know. It just seems like you have such a chill demeanor, and you can wed that really strong confidence with, you know, just a steadiness that might be very much needed to see like a confident woman keeps their cool and says, this is the line, no more shit.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. I think it's being confident, cool, and consistent. Like, we'll name them the three C's, because I think that's what it comes down to.
If you're a marketing department person.
Am I? I don't know. I just feel like you said it right. You hit it right on the head, so I was just going to use it. But, like, if you keep your cool, and if you're confident and you're consistent, I mean, that's kind of what a lot of the more popular people that are culture critics do. They're a little bit sarcastic, too. That always works. But I'm also not going to not be me. Like I am generally a very sarcastic, sassy person. So I like showing that side of myself on camera. That's not just for the camera. I just like showing that side of me. But yeah, I think that's the next step. I think it's just to continue the conversations and know that I'm going to get shit from both sides, but use it to my advantage at this point. Cause I think those types of videos get the most action. And it's not necessarily hate, but it is a very important conversation we need to have. So I think it's all in all, I think it's for the better.
Do you think that you were built to do this in a way?
So I think it's like my dharma. I think my dharma is to help people learn to love themselves. Because that's something that I had to learn to do, and I'm still doing. And I'm doing it in front of thousands of people. But I think everybody has a unique gift and a unique way of expressing that gift. There's a book called The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, and it's the Law of Dharma. It talks about that and how if you're not giving the world your gift, it's like a waste, you know? And when you start giving the world your truth, the world opens up for you. Doors open up, windows open up, you know, romance comes in, and because you're being the energy that the world needs you to be. And I think that for me, it's hopefully an energy of women empowerment and without shame, without guilt, without needing to change, you know, change any aspect of who you are to please somebody else, to validate somebody else. I hope that that's the message that most people, and male and men too, just but like, I'm a woman, so I'm going to talk more for women. But I hope that's the message or the energy or the feeling people come away with after watching my content. I hope so.
Do you have any books in the works?
No, I was asked to write a book. I was asked to write a book years ago, and I had ideas, and I submitted the ideas, and they got approved. But I just didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. I don't feel like I can sit there for hours a day typing. I think I have more to say. I'm better at verbalizing than writing. Yeah. So far. Yeah. Plus, they don't pay you enough, to be honest. I think they would like off camera. I mean, you could put this in, but I think they offered me like $10,000, and I'm like, I'm not spending 30 hours a week to make $10,000 when I can just do two videos or three videos and make that and like enjoy the videos.
Yeah. Well, think of all the bookstore tours you could go on, you know?
Good. Right? Yeah. I don't know. I feel like maybe in the future, but not right now. Maybe when I'm old and I don't feel like traveling as much. maybe then when I'm retired, then I'll write my book.
One more
secret.
question, just for like a side question. What's your other gig? What's your other topic or interest besides this LGBT, etc. stuff?
Travel and culture. Just I love traveling. I love seeing other cultures. I love sports too. I don't think people know that about me, but I love being active and I love sports, but I don't, it's not something like, this is my job. You know, like I talk about LGBT. I don't talk about gay shit with my friends. Like when we're hanging out, you know, we talk about girls, you know? We talk about girls, we talk about sports, talk about food. I mean, most of the time I talk about this kind of stuff online and it seems like it's like, oh, my entire life, but is it, no, it's part of my business. So I'm going to talk about it. And it might seem like it's overblown, but it's really not. There's not that many lesbians in the conversation at all at the moment. So I feel the need to talk even more. But
You
yeah,
gonna bring some
I would.
lesbians up under your wing, you think?
Oh, I
Give them
have.
under your
Yeah,
wing.
there's quite a few YouTubers that I've helped over the, and they'll tell you straight up. Like if you ever interviewed them, they'd be like, Ariel helped me from the beginning. LO Steph, Brianne Chrissy. I helped Amber's Closet for a little bit. I gotta think, but I can name at least 10, 15 creators that I helped in some way, in one way or another. Like whether it was collabing or helping with them ideas, helping them with ideas or teaching them, you know, little behind the scenes kind of things to help them. Or if they were upset about something, they would come to me. I'm like the mother lesbian. I'm not even the oldest one, but they view me as that because I've been on the, I'm the oldest
You're the
channel,
vet.
the oldest channel. Yeah, not the oldest person. But yeah, I'm glad that I was able to be that for at least somebody. And I'm lucky that now there's a few people that have been on the platform for longer than me, or simply that just now they're more popular than I am, that they're willing to reach out and help me grow more, which is great. It's all about helping other people's voices be heard too, you know.
Yeah, the platform itself won't do that.
It does, but it's harder now than ever to grow, which is a shame. Yeah. Back then it was very easy. Well, it wasn't easy to grow. It was easier to grow back then, but there were also less people watching YouTube back then. So it's a different reason why it was more difficult to grow. Does that make sense? Completely different reason. Now it's like, okay, everybody's on YouTube, but there's also everybody's creating on YouTube. So it's actually kind of this, I guess, the same reason. Less people, less content. But also less people. Now there's more content, but more people.
Yeah, but the pie grows, but so do all the pigs around the pie.
Exactly. You got it. Yeah. So it's the same reason, just different, you know, percentages or whatever the word, I don't know what the word would be. I'm not good at math. But yeah, you know, I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say though.
You're good at alliteration. Well, thanks for jumping on my channel and talking with me about this. I would recommend
Thank you.
there's one young woman up in Canada who I'd like you to at least speak with or check out, GNC Centric. She just got kicked off of
Yes.
Twitter.
Yeah.
She's a
She
fabulous
was
young woman.
she one of the people in the Peak Resilience Project, or was
No.
she?
No, she's kind of just her own thing. She's just her own
Okay.
detransitioner up
I
in.
think I just followed her. I'll check, but I'm pretty sure I just followed her. I think she was on, maybe she was on their channel or something.
Yeah, I
But
just
I
interviewed
do,
her today, but
yeah.
she, our first interview's just been making the rounds. I just.
Good. Yeah, I do. I want to do, like I said, I want to have content with, like a live stream with people that are on one, like somebody that's completely detransitioned, that's like trans people don't exist, and then somebody that's detransitioned and is more like, yeah, trans people exist, but I fucked up. You know, I thought I was trans when I wasn't. That's a really interesting conversation that needs to happen too. That kind of stuff is, I think, in the works for me. Because there's a lot of that going around. A lot of detransitioners coming out, which is, like I said, in 2013, I knew it was going to happen. It took 5 or 6 years. Yes. Yeah,
What do you
because
think is going to
everybody,
happen
I think
in the
there's going to
next
be
few
more and
years?
more, I think it's going to be more and more detransitioned people. And I think the people that don't physically transition will be fine. And that they'll probably still call themselves non-binary. But the fact is, if you are a woman, being on testosterone is not going to feel good. Like it's not. That's where it comes. That's what it comes down to. So if you're physically I don't even know what the word would be, biologically transitioning, if you could. I guess physically transitioning would be the word. Hormonally transitioning. I think we're going to see a lot of detransitioners. And I think if people are just saying that they're non-binary, they'll probably still say that. But if you're not changing anything about yourself, you could, what's the point, you know? To me, it's like, okay, you have a new name, but you didn't change anything visually or socially.
Do you think though that's going to lead to some blowback against, well, I guess, the medical community and the LGBT
Oh yeah.
community?
Did you know that now there's an entire section, a subset of the trans community called, they call themselves trans medicalists?
Yeah, true scum is
True
there.
scum, trans medicalists, yeah. That's the blowback. It already happened. Yeah. People are like, okay, listen, like, there are trans trenders, they are real. And you're hurting people that actually have been diagnosed with gender dysphoria that need these medical treatments. It's a biological scientific thing. And we believe that you need gender dysphoria to be transgender. Like, it's that simple. And people are like, you don't need dysphoria to be trans. You don't need this. It's like, calm your ass down.
Gatekeeper.
Not gatekeeper. Yeah. It's just using it. Like, shut up. I'm called the gatekeeper for gatekeeping lesbians. Like, it's like, oh my God. 99% of lesbians.
Gatekeeping
Okay.
your own vagina. Shame on you.
Yes, it's
I don't
true.
understand how we got to that point.
Did you
It's so
look up?
rapey. That's literally like the
Have you
rapiest
heard of the
thing.
cotton ceiling? Have you heard of the cotton ceiling?
Yeah, there's
Okay, so
a
there's a cotton
story that I'm
piano.
working on that.
Okay, so there you go. Do you this full time now?
I
Or
have
you're a
a I
waiter?
drive a school bus
Oh, cute. Okay.
for yeah,
Good.
it's kind of cute. It's a long one though, so it's manly. Don't
Okay, yeah. You make sure you get
emasculate
that.
me, my bus,
Just like your penis. It's like. All right. Thank you so much for having me on here.
Thank
This
you,
was a lot
Ariel.
of fun. Yeah, I'm gonna have you
Yeah, thank
on.
you.
I gotta think about it, but maybe it's an episode where straight guys like against the LGBT community, and then I don't know, but I'll think of a way to get you on an episode. I'm thinking of probably doing one a month because more than that's gonna like be a lot for me since I already post one to
Yeah.
two videos a week. Yeah, and plus I travel a lot. But I think it'll be interesting to start doing live streams. We'll see. I just have to figure out how to like be a moderator. Because I know I'm
Yeah.
gonna be like, shut the fuck up, you're wrong. But I have to like calm myself
Yeah,
down enough
I'm
to.
better at a moderator role than than a speaking role, personally.
Are you like a Libra or something? What are you?
I'm a Cancer.
Oh, me too.
Oh,
I could
okay.
I actually was gonna guess that
Why'd
because
you
of
say
something
Libra then?
just because you said I'm more comfortable moderating. Yeah, I'm like eh. But
My hair parts, I guess it's parting in the middle right now, but.
yeah. No, it was something you said earlier that made me think you were Cancer, and I can't remember what it was, but it's something you said that I was like, I feel the same exact way as that, and no one else that I know feels that way unless they're a Cancer. And I can't remember what it was, but I was gonna ask you that, and I just went past it. When we were talking about astrology, you said something, and I was like, oh, fucking Cancer, probably. Yeah. Same. Same. Very strong opinions, but very sweet is usually what we are.
Yeah, I go sideways a lot.
Like a crab.
You like a crab.